Please turn with me to Isaiah 58, which is a scripture that we looked at a few weeks ago. Isaiah 58, God through Isaiah says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your labors. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, 'Here I am.' If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You should be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father." The mouth of the Lord has spoken. May God bless to us this portion of his word today. Well, we are continuing in the fourth commandment as kind of exposited by the Westminster Assembly in the Shorter Catechism. And we're taking on two questions today, questions 61 and 62. We looked the last time at question 60, what is commanded in the fourth commandment. Now we're looking at what is forbidden in the fourth commandment in question 61, and then in question 62, what are the reasons annexed to the fourth commandment? Well, we have the question then, what is forbidden in the fourth commandment? The fourth commandment forbiddeth the omission or careless performance of the duties required, and the profaning the day by idleness, or doing that which is in itself sinful, or by unnecessary thoughts, words, or works about our worldly employments or recreations. And then there are a whole bunch of scriptures about this. These weren't things made up by the men at the Westminster Assembly. These are things derived from scripture. And so we see all those scripture proofs there. Ezekiel 22:26, Amos 8:5, Malachi 1:13, Acts 20 verse 7, also Acts 20 verse 9, Ezekiel 23:38, Jeremiah 17:24 through 26, which we just looked at last week also, or last time, and then Isaiah 58:13 that we just read. And then question 62, what are the reasons annexed to the fourth commandment? The reasons annexed to the fourth commandment are God's allowing us 6 days of the week for our own employments, his challenging a special propriety in the seventh, his own example, and his blessing the Sabbath day. And the quote, or the scripture there, is simply the fourth commandment right there in the original giving of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, verses 9 and 11. Now, before we go further, let's make sure we understand what the Catechism is talking about. When it asks what is forbidden in the fourth commandment, children, this means what is not allowed. What must you not do? That's what forbidding something means, telling you that you're not allowed to do this. So, for example, it might be that some place you might go to might have an old quarry where over the years working men took out big blocks of stone. And over the years, as they got all the stone out of there that they wanted, the place began to fill up with water out of the ground. And it filled in a good bit with water. And there are certain people who think it might be really fun to dive off the edge into the water and go swimming there and all. But the owners of the quarry have signs all over the place that say no swimming because it's dangerous, because you don't know where rock outcroppings are. You might land with your head on a rock and that would be your end. That would be it for you. If you weren't killed, you might be paralyzed the rest of your life. So there's signs around saying no swimming. Therefore, swimming is forbidden. Now, the next question asking what are the reasons annexed to the fourth commandment? What does that annexed thing mean? It means stuck on. Okay? Stuck on. God in the fourth commandment, at least in Exodus 20, has some stuff stuck on why he wants us to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. There in verse 11 particularly, for in 6 days, or because in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Okay, so that's kind of stuck on to God saying, remember to keep the Sabbath day. You've got 6 other days. Do your work in that. And not only that, not just you, but everybody else. You must rest, even your farm animals. So, let's look at these things. Remember the day, second round. Remember to keep it, and today we're going to look at remember not to break it, and remember why to keep it. So, our catechism, taking a bunch of stuff from different scriptures, tells us first of all, how we break it is by neglecting it. Or maybe doing it outwardly, but really our heart is not in it. And we have an example of this here in chapter 58 of Isaiah, don't we? We see the picture of these people who are not really doing what the Lord's commanding. Oh, outwardly it looks like it. Outwardly, as God says through Isaiah, they make a good show of it. They seek me daily, all right? Maybe they go through outward prayers. Maybe those in Jerusalem show up at the temple every day. They delight to know my ways. All right, they're interested in finding out what the law teaches. And it's just like a nation that really was righteous. Outwardly, they look good. They act as though they weren't forsaking the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching God. But when they come to him, they say, well, look, God, come on now. We've fasted. Why aren't you paying attention? We've afflicted our souls. We've gone through all this stuff. We've done all these things. Why aren't you noticing? And God says, look, your heart's not in it. No, in fact, you do all this outward stuff and you do all this religious stuff and you act like wicked people with one another. You harm each other. You hate each other. You do wicked things to one another. Am I all that interested in you going through a bunch of religious rigmarole and your heart's not in it? Not at all. Show that your heart's in it by being kindly, by being godly, by acting consistently with new hearts. You need new hearts. That's the kind of fasting that I'm interested in. So, we must not neglect or only keep the Sabbath day outwardly. We must delight in it. Look there in verse 13 of Isaiah 58. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable. It's not like you come to the Sabbath day and go through everything and think, oh man, is this ever going to be over with? That is neglecting. That is breaking the Sabbath day. It is mere outward observance without having your heart in it. No, rather, you must be delighting in the day, anticipating the day, enjoying the day, or even more to the point, enjoying your God in the day. A second way to break it that our Westminster Assembly noted is by, as they say, profaning the day by idleness. Now, someone might think, okay, I've got my job and I'm not going to do that today. And normally, you know, when I'm off from work, I like partying. Okay, well, I won't do that today. So what can I do? Well, I'll just stay at home, stay away from other people, sleep in till, you know, the peep of noon, and then maybe I can, you know, do a few things, but just kind of laze around the house. It's a good, sleepy day. Well, God has given us this day, yes, for rest of our bodies. But he has said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, not to keep it idle. And so although there is to be rest for our bodies on this day, it is a rest from our normal works and recreations, but a holy resting. And so the day is primarily to be taken up with fellowship with God's people, fellowship with God himself by the power of the Holy Spirit through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lazing around, doing nothing, blowing off the day altogether is what is allowed for your ox. What's allowed for your donkey. It's allowed for your other animals because they have no spiritual component to them. But for you, it is to be a day of spiritual refreshment, and that primarily. Bodily to some extent, sure. But primarily that of spiritual refreshment. That which is an anticipation of the eternal, the everlasting Sabbath after the resurrection. A third thing here that breaks the Sabbath day is doing that which is in itself sinful. Now, I've talked before how all the Ten Commandments intertwine. They're all woven together. And I've pointed out a number of times over many years in James chapter 2, verse 10, that if you break but one part of the law, you break all the law. And I've gone through this before. The fact is, friends, that any breaking of any of the other Ten Commandments breaks this commandment. If you do it on the other 6 days, it's not doing your godly work, is it? It's doing sin. And so you sin against God in this commandment on the 6 day. And on the first day of the week, our new covenant Sabbath, it is to be a holy day and no sin partakes of holiness in any way, does it? It's actually an aggravation of any other sin. And then lastly, how do we break the Sabbath day? By not properly resting from our other 6 days. Now, I trust none of us have work that is sinful in and of itself. Every one of us have jobs and callings that are perfectly legitimate in and of themselves, that can be, and if we're in Christ, characteristically are used to the glory of God. No matter what it is you do, even you children who are in school, you're being students. Even you little kids that aren't in school yet, you are following the calling of being a godly son or daughter, a godly brother or sister, a godly family member, right? These are things that are to be done to the glory of God all the time, all 6 days. But the calling that you have on the Sabbath day is to avoid, to stay away from all things that are not necessary, even in your words, even in your thoughts. And I can give you illustrations of how I have blown this before. And so we stay away from our work and our recreations. This is the problem, let's say, as it's coming up in just a few weeks, NFL. This is the problem with Sabbath day sports in general. This is the problem with all kinds of pursuing our hobbies and delights and things like that. Now, some things that you like to do that are made well, there are some things that you like to do that there are ways to do them on Sabbath that are perfectly fine. Maybe you like to read a lot. I sure do. There are plenty of godly things, things that will allow you to keep the Sabbath day, in fact, promote you keeping the Sabbath day, that involve reading, for example. Or children, maybe some of you have Legos. And I don't know what all you build with them, but you can use your Legos to build things that are Sabbath day stories. Parents, you can provide special toys, special books, things like that on the Sabbath day. You can have things like this that teach your children that the day is special and delightful. You can be doing this. Grandparents, you can be encouraging your kids with their kids in exactly the same way. Provide these things and enable them to do this. But all these things are, well, we're to keep away from, because what do we see here in our Isaiah 58? You shall honor him by not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. If you seek, in order to glorify God, in order to delight in him, and to delight him, to do things that are appropriate for the Sabbath day, why, God says in this last verse that then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. That's not saying you should. It says that's what's going to happen. You'll find yourself enjoying, delighting in the God of the Sabbath as well as the Sabbath of God. You shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. It's absolutely certain. It's absolutely true. This is what will happen. More and more, as you seek to avoid breaking the Sabbath day, as you seek to be keeping the Lord's day. Now then, why should we keep the Sabbath day? Well, there are some reasons tacked on, we might say. There are some reasons which are added on. They are annexed to the text of the commandment. And we saw those already in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. The first thing is, God already gives us 6 days to do our work and to have our enjoyment. He gives us 6 days to spend on whatever we believe before Him that is not sin is good to do. And so we have opportunity then to do our normal callings and to have other enjoyments as well. That's part of the 6 days of work. Doing our own ways, doing our own things. It is not that God commands us to work 24/6 at our jobs, and then on the Sabbath day we've got all this other stuff. We take a break from the work. This is not by any means saying it's wrong to take a day off. This is not wrong. This is not saying that it's somehow wrong to take a vacation. Not at all. But it's part of the 6 days, not the seventh. Which, by the way, I didn't have this in my notes. But when you're on vacation, you are never on vacation from God. Never are you on vacation from God. And so make it a plan that you will be able to keep the Lord's Day during your vacation. Make that part of your plans. God gives us 6 days. Now, there was an illustration I have written down here about a guy who had some money, and let's say he had 70 bucks, and he saw a poor guy and gave him 60. Now, should the other guy say, well, why don't you give me 70? No, he's got no right to say that. It would be a horrible thing for the poor man to steal that other 10. But that's what we do if we steal the day from God. A second reason why we should keep it, that's kind of tacked on, that's annexed here, is that God says, it's my day. It is the Sabbath of the Lord your God, we see in verse 10. It already belongs to Him. He's got it reserved. He's got it preempted. Back when I was a kids, there were a few times we would go to visit my dad's parents in Florida, and we would fly instead of driving. And back long ago, these were big propeller planes, not jets. Why, there are a few seats that had a special paper tape across them up in first class that said reserved seats. And we weren't allowed to sit there because they were already belonging to someone else. Or it might be, children, that you go to somebody's wedding and you see some of it, and let's say it's in a church building. You may see that the front few rows of seats or pews have special ropes or something across them, keeping people out because they are reserved. They're already taken, even though nobody's there yet, for the family of the bride and the family of the groom. Well, God already has this day as His. It belongs to Him. How do we know so? Because He says so right there. And He, being our God and our Creator, has the right to do things. He has the right to say how we use our time, because He is our God and He is our Creator and He is time's creator. Thirdly, another reason annexed here is what we see here in verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. He Himself keeps the Sabbath day. Yes, even before the fall. So this has nothing to do at base with sin, at least as it was originally given. It is based upon God's keeping the Sabbath day, His ending His creation, and His working on providence. But the Son kept the Sabbath day as well. Our Lord Jesus kept the Sabbath day. No one ever accused him of not keeping the Sabbath day in general. They just didn't like some of his proper godly applications of it. They did not see that it was proper, and in fact even commanded, to do those things which are necessary and those things which are merciful. However, the Son of God kept the Sabbath day. He in fact said that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, not Israel only, not Jews within Israel only, not during kingdom times only, to use a dispensational argument. No, the Sabbath was made for man. And he says, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. He continues such. Lastly, we see that God has put his special blessing on the day. This is a great reason to keep the day. Are you in Jesus Christ? Do you want to have God's blessing? Do you want to be in full fellowship with him? Then here's a great reason to be keeping the day and to avoid breaking the Sabbath commandment. His special blessing is upon it. Now in our New Testament day, even more so. Because as we have seen, the Sabbath has been moved from the last day of the week, where people would look forward to a coming picture of redemption. It's been moved from there to the first day of the week, so that we look back to the promised redemption being done. We look back to Jesus' resurrection. We look back to his final victory for us. We look back and we rejoice and we go forward in our work, our redeemed work, our work which is used by God in his redemption of the world. Now, as we look at the fourth commandment, and we've been looking at it for several weeks, who among us can say that we are now perfectly keeping it? Not one. In fact, who here can say, and who listening to me can say, that he or she has avoided any and all sin of any sort since midnight or since waking up this morning? Really? You have not kept, or you have kept from sinning in thought, in word, in deed. If you've messed up anyway, you've blown this commandment. You cannot stand before God. You have selfishly said, on this day, I shall do as I please, despite God saying, do not do your own pleasure. Is no one who keeps this commandment. No one who can stand before God. However, for the sake of his people, Jesus kept the day. In fact, our Lord Jesus kept every day, and not just one week, every week of every month, of every year that he lived on this earth. He was without sin. He did this so that everyone who cries out to him to be saved may have that on their record, not their own sin. And he died in order to pay the price, to pay the penalty for Sabbath breakers. He is Lord of the Sabbath, but he saves Sabbath breakers. If you have not done so already, see here that trying to keep the Ten Commandments just doesn't do it, and you have not done it. see that you need someone else's righteousness. You need that of Christ's. Go to him, and as we saw earlier today, cry out to him that he would have mercy on you, knowing that he will do so and he is able to do so. Cry out to him to give you rest from your sinfulness. Cry out to him to give you rest from your pointless rat race, your pointless going on and doing, doing, doing. Cry out to him to deliver you from trying to establish your own righteousness, which is a burden you cannot bear and a goal you cannot reach. Cry out to him to give you rest in himself, and rest in him you shall find. If you're burdened and you're heavy laden, go to him, for he has said, "Come to me, and he will give you rest unto your souls." Remember the day, and in it, remember our Lord Jesus. Amen. We'll sing now from Psalm 87. Now you may be thinking, what's this got to do with anything? It isn't directly talking about breaking the Sabbath day, but its connection with the fourth commandment is how God calls us together into his family. And he loves, we read here, the gates of Zion more than dwellings Jacob made. God delights when we day by day spend time with him in his word and in prayer. What the Puritans and the old Scots used to call our secret worship, what sometimes people today call quiet time. God delights in that. God delights in what the old Puritans and Scots called our private worship. That is, in our families, as families gathered together once, twice a day, they spend time in the scriptures. They spend time in prayer. They sing praise to God from the Psalms. God delights in that, as house by house, each family is committed to him and gives the day to him. But even more does God delight on his day to have his people gathering together. He delights in the gates of Zion more than in the dwellings of Jacob. So here we are, the delight God has in us keeping his day. Let it be that this is the delight that we share in being with one another and with our Father together in worship. We'll sing this and then receive God's blessing. If you're able to, please stand with me.